Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on Free TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Selkirk's North Parish Church. It's good to have your company, and we're going to welcome in a moment a very special guest. I had a bright idea that, you know, when people have a long career at something and they say all through it, I could write a book, it would be nice to get a retired person in the studio and tap their brains about their long career. And I was thinking of a minister. Think of the stories that a minister on retirement would have. I've got a book in the house written by a minister who had retired, and it's about a fictional parish, but everybody knows that all the characters in that book are folk he met in real life. So I've invited along the Reverend Ross Mitchell, who's now a retired minister, to sort of write the book, well, at least entertain us for half an hour here. So thanks, Ross, for coming. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for the invitation.
So I'm saying you're a retired minister. How long have you been retired now?
I've been retired for 6 years past in August.
And how long were you a minister for?
I was a minister, well, it goes back 41 years this year that I was ordained, 41 years ago.
The expression 40 days and 40 nights a little means a long time.
A long time, yes.
So just give us a wee idea of your career, Ross, your 40 years in ministry. Where were they?
Right, and I started off before that as far as career was concerned, because I thought I was going to be working in the insurance industry. But then I really felt God's call when I was in my 20s. Went back to college and two universities and started ministry in 1972 in Bowness in West Lothian. I started as a United Free Church minister. That's basically because my family were United Free Church people. And then in 1980... I came to West Kilbride to be minister in St Andrew's Church in West Kilbride, and at that point I moved from the United Free Church into the Church of Scotland. That's where I remained until I retired.
And you've retired to Selkirk's?
I've retired down to Selkirk's, yes. Very happy to be living in Selkirk's too.
So you've had two careers, really. You went from insurance to assurance.
That's right, yes. And the interesting thing is, it was life insurance I was doing before I left the insurance company.
And now it's eternal assurance.
Life assurance.
So we're just trying to tap your brains tonight about your life and experiences.
Well, right,
your whole life, but particularly think of your ministry life. There'll have been high ups and lows and funnies and sads. Maybe to get us off on a cheerier note, can you give us one of your funnier sides?
Yes, right back at the very beginning of my ministry, when I went to Bowness, after a short time, they built a new manse there, and they didn't really till the ground, but I didn't want them to, because I was keen on gardening. So I was out in my oldest of togs, digging away at the garden next to the wall, when two lads came down the road. Now, they had been obviously having a few pints in the local hostelry, and they leaned on the wall and they began to chat to me. And they said, is that the minister's house? And I said, yeah, that's the minister's house. Is that the minister's garden? And I said, yes, that's the minister's garden. And they said, why does the minister not dig his own bleep, bleep, bleep garden? And I said, well, I am the minister. And both of them immediately said, oh, good afternoon, sir, and walked away very, very quickly.
Have you had some other funnier moments as well that you can look back on?
Well, a few years ago now, I had the names of everybody that was going to hospital in a wee black book. I carried it around my pocket, took it out to check who was in the hospital ward. And I went into a ward in a nearby hospital here. And the lady had some of her family sitting beside her, and she burst into tears. And they're saying, oh, mum, it's okay, you're all right, you're all right. And she said, oh, but look, look, look. And when I came closer, they said, what's wrong? You know it's Mr. Mitchell, he's coming to visit you. Aye, shit, she said, but he's got his wee book, he's going to come and give me the last rites. And of course, we assured her that she was okay. And she went on for years after that, no problem.
I remember visiting a bedside in hospital and the man's face, I approached from one side at the same moment as the priest from the other side. And he looked at the two of us, I'm not that bad.
Yes.
Well, I've asked you to pick some music.
Yes.
And can you introduce your first track?
Yes. One of the things that I really have enjoyed with people through the years is gaining their sense of uplift and their joy. And there's a community in Australia, Hillsong's community, that have a woman called Darlene Zesch, and she's been writing some super uplifting music. And this one, Shout to the Lord, is one of those that just lifts the spirits of the people.
Right, let's hear it now.
Thank you.
Cheery number from Darlene Zesch, Z-C-H-E-C-H. I'm glad you said it before me. The ministry is a laugh a minute in many ways. I'm sure you have many things to rejoice about.
Yes.
But you also have interesting moments and some heavier moments. I'm thinking you told me once that you got punched in the course of your duties.
I did. I got punched in the front door. There was a poor chap in the community that had his own business. He was a tradesman. And for some reason or another, he had done some work for one of the churches of Scotland in the town. Now, at that stage, I was United Free Church. But he began to rant and rave going past my manse. And then one day, the doorbell rang, and I opened the door, and he lunged at me before I got a chance to protect myself. It wasn't a very hard punch, because the man was dispirited and sad. But it just spoke to me about how some people, in a way, lose the place. And instead of making judgments on them, we can understand them a bit. This man was disturbed inside because he thought the church was taking his livelihood away. It was an interpretational thing. But that made me have a kind of softness for people going through difficult times like that.
I once got heckled in church.
Really?
He stood up at the back loud and shouted at me. But the people wouldn't know, but I knew the background, that
right.
A year earlier I had broken the news that his son had died at sea.
Right.
I had to go and break the news to him.
Yes.
And he hadn't got over that. And
no.
He had cracked up, really, and he'd gone round heckling a few more than me, you know.
I can understand that.
Yeah, the ministry does come with the heavier side of things.
Mm.
How did you feel yourself in that side of the job?
I found it a great privilege to be with people in sad times. It's strange to say this, but I feel I was blessed by God to be able to be there beside them and to help them through. One of my saddest memories is of an elder who was only 42 years of age, a really good elder, one who supported me through difficult times and circumstances in my early ministry. And I got called to go to the hospital. It was the Falkirk Hospital. I went in to see him. And the first thing he did was to ask me how my children and my wife and all of these things were. And yet this man died about 4 hours later. He had just been in the middle of having very severe heart conditions at that time. I often think back and wonder, in the day that we live now, if people like that I saw passing away from me very sadly might have lived with medicine and science as it is today. But I was able to be with his family, and I was able to be a comfort, I hope, to his widow and his son. And I felt privileged by God to be in a situation like that.
Yeah, it's very humbling.
Very.
And for job satisfaction, you cannot beat starting with tears and ending with a wee smile.
Well, that's right. And tears and smiles are often so close.
Your second song is on this line. Can you explain that?
Yes, a number of years ago I went to see the play Blood Brothers, and there's a very sad bit where the mother learns of her son's death. And of course, the story is that they are actually blood brothers, but they've drifted away in different directions. And there's a wonderful song that's sung. I think I quite like the version that Alfie Bowe sings, a much more recent version of that than the one I heard on stage in London. It's Tell Me It's Not True, and it's the agony that people have.
Tell me it's not true. Say it's just a story, something on the news. Tell me it's not true, though it's here before me. Say it's just a dream, say it's just a scene from an old movie of years ago. From an old movie of Marilyn Monroe. Say it's just some clowns to play us in the limelight. Bring the
curtain down. Say it's just two clowns who couldn't get the lines right. Say it's just a show on the radio that we can turn over and start again. That we can turn over, it's only game. Tell me it's not true. Say I only dreamed it, and morning will come soon. Tell me it's not true. Say
listening to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour, where we're exploring Tales of a Retired Minister with the Reverend Ross Mitchell. So Ross, we've been thinking about the funny side of the ministry and we've been thinking about the sadder side of life. Let's lift the spirits a wee bit with the transformations that have happened in lives, out of the sad to the happier. You've got a story that was quite moving.
I had a Sunday school teacher in the first church I was in. She was 16 and a half, a helper in the class. And what we all didn't know was that she was pregnant. She had hidden it, I think, because of shame and hidden it from her family. She went home after the church service and she gave birth to a little girl.
She managed to hide it for 9 months.
She did indeed, yes. She managed to hide it even from her parents and from everybody else around her. But she gave birth to this child, and this child was wrapped in foil because they were given advice to keep the child's temperature well. And she was put in a little drawer, and in that drawer she was transported up to Falkirk Infirmary to the specialist care unit there. The granny came to my house late afternoon. I had an evening service and I couldn't go to see the girl and the baby, but the granny told me they were in dire trouble. And I said, right, you go down the road, you all get together and pray, and I'll go in before I go to my service and I'll pray. And we all prayed together, different places, but we prayed. At 8 o'clock that night, the doorbell rang. After my service, I'd gone home. Here was the granny back again with a huge smile on her face. The baby is going to live. The baby was called Anne. I baptized her, and she lived to the extent that a few months ago, I was back taking a service in that church. And the mum came to me and said, Ross, I want you to meet somebody. And I met Anne, who was now a school teacher, with her own family sitting beside her having a coffee after the church service. Now, that really was a super experience, just a really uplifting experience. And that was both a physical and a spiritual transformational story.
And there's lots of these, isn't there?
There are. If we dredge our memory banks, we could get them, lots of them.
Yeah. So your next piece of music was chosen to fit with that story.
Yes, the next song I think is by Coldplay, the group that I'm quite impressed with. I really like some modern groups, although Coldplay's been around for a wee while. But there's one song, it's so meaningful. It's about healing and helping and restoring people. And it's the desire on the part of the singer to help to fix his lady friend who's got things going bad. It's called Fix You.
When you try your best but you don't succeed, when you get what you want but not what you need, when you feel so tired but you can't sleep, stuck in reverse. And the tears come streaming down your face when you lose something you can't replace, when you love someone but it goes to waste. Could it be will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will try to fix you. And high up above or down, too love to let it go. But if you never try, you'll never know just what you were. Lights will
say about that story. It comes back to me, there was a special moment. The granny and the grandpa gathered the family together, and round about 5 o'clock in the evening, I know that because I was getting ready for my evening service, they got their people together and they prayed, perhaps in a way they never prayed before. And the consultant later that evening told them something happened in the life of that little baby around 5 o'clock Before that, they wondered if she would survive. After that, they said they had no doubt she was going to make it. It's an interesting story.
I know of a consultant speaking to a group of ministers who said, I assume you guys believe in miracles. He says, well, I do. A doctor does his best, and then he crosses his fingers and he prays. And in that area, you sometimes get an answer to your prayer.
Indeed.
It's lovely when people pray and they get an answer. It's very frustrating when the answer's not the answer you want an answer,
indeed,
of course.
Indeed, that's true, yes.
Thinking about all the people you've been dealing with over your lifetime, you get the best and the worst of people. And, well, yeah. We haven't time for everything. Let's go for the best of people.
Sure.
Have you got other stories about people coming at that crisis to their best, you know?
Well, I think there are some people that you come across as a minister in life that are the absolute best of people. I think of one gentleman who made it a point to go and welcome visitors and strangers. And not just to say, oh, hello, welcome to the church, but to take them for a coffee, get to know them. And by that kind of warmth, people were persuaded to be at ease in the church or at ease in the new community. I think of another lady who, if there was appeal, she was always there to do the appeal. I just think of just ordinary people that are, in my opinion, extraordinary people. And they seem to lift me up. I was delighted with them and blessed by the kind of work that they did.
I mean, all churches and charities exist by the core people.
Absolutely.
Unpaid, unsung.
Yes, indeed, that's very true.
Your next song is Matt Redman,
yes.
The Heart of Worship. Why did you pick that?
Well, I picked that, and it's fairly close to what we've just been talking about, people who are wonderful and faithful people. Matt Redman was a pastor and also a songwriter of a church down south who said, what is this worship all about? You know, is it the hymn prayer sandwich as we talk about, or is it more than that? And he actually, with his pastor, he stopped having any music, anything else other than just come together, sit quiet and think about God. And then he said that kind of cleaned out their souls, and they began then to realise what was the heart of worship. And he wrote this song. It's been profound, and it's been blessed by being performed all over the United States and Britain.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Heart of worship, and it's all about. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to.
So we've been discussing their unsung heroes, but time's running out. I'd like to finish on some of your well-sung heroes. You were saying that some folk have particularly influenced your whole life in ministry. So who are they?
Yes. Well, first of all, my father was a minister, and although he's been in his grave a while, he would be shocked if I said he was an influence, but he was in his own way a profound influence. But then I was a young man when Billy Graham came to Glasgow, and that was a hugely influential period. Religion and being a Christian was quite the in thing. You weren't on the outside. And then I felt God's call, I went to study, and I was privileged to end up at Trinity College in Glasgow, where the Reverend Professor William Barclay, known by many people as Willie Barclay, who was a really a television and radio star, he was my teacher, my professor in New Testament theology and language, and a wonderful man, a man who helped us to sing in choirs, took me along with others out in a praise band, and just kept wanting to win people into love of Jesus and also into ministry. These people, I look back on these days and I still feel the uplift from them, even now.
It's an amazing tribute to them, isn't it?
Yes.
And in this band, you played the harmonica.
I did. I played the harmonica. And we did some unusual things. There was a trumpet player, and I played the harmonica through the amplifier, and we used to do duets, trumpet and harmonica. Now, I don't know many places that have done that, but it was all part of the fun. We just enjoyed doing that at the time.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, Ross, that the holy half hour is reaching that half hour.
Sure.
So thank you very much for coming into the studio and sharing some of your memories and thoughts and feelings over the years with us. And we wish you a long and happy retirement.
Thank you.
So we're going to finish with your last choice, which is the Texas tenor singing You Raise Me Up.
Than I can be.
I am strong when I am on your shoulders. Raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on
me.